Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." God also said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth. Everything having the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Oh, wow. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Rico Jordan. I'm the associate campus minister at the Christian Campus House, and I was reminded earlier that last year on Valentine's Day, Patrick used the whole service to read the entirety of Revelation. So I can't really mess this up. I didn't grow up in the church. It was a part of our life when I was very young. And then I had occasional moments in which we would visit up until high school. But if you had asked me then if I was a Christian, I would have said yes. Like most people in the Midwest, the understanding that there is a God and he had a son named Jesus comes as natural as talking about humidity or waving to strangers. Now, in parts of my story, I can see how God was clearly moving even at such a young age, but to say that I knew God, well, I now understand that differently. It was my high school years that I started to pursue the church, and it was made known to me that Christianity is about a personal relationship with God. The phrase personal relationship has sure become popularized in our culture and is the go-to explanation of why someone should become a Christian or what makes someone a Christian. I certainly have used it, but it has become slightly cliche to me, and really it lacks substance. Also, this isn't a phrase used in the Bible. So it has some cultural precepts that has solidified its use more than biblical understanding. I'm not saying it's a bad phrase by any means, but for the sake of today, I would like to maybe rework it. Relationship with God is at the basis of our faith, but the personal aspect is what I would like to challenge. God is certainly a personal God who desires relationship with you. But to reduce all of Christianity to be so individualistic is mostly a sign of the Western American culture we live in. So today I would like to explore relationship with God. Take out the word personal. Relationship with God. What does it look like? Why is it important? As Christians, what is a proper or healthy relationship with God? I believe that for all the different types of relationships to be considered, the best place to start is the beginning. So we are going to be entering at part of the creation story and fall to get an image of the ideal situation and also where did it go wrong. Genesis 1, starting in 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Then in chapter 2, starting in verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And skipping down to verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.' Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.' Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." In these passages, we get to see a glimpse of what relationships were intended to look like. See, we are meant to be in relationship, and that starts with God. I want to point out two things regarding this. First, We see in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The significance of this verse is that this is the first mentioning of God in a plurality. It says us, our. In every detail of the creation story up to this point, we see the singular use of God. God said, then God. But here, that same God speaks in terms of a multiple. And the intricacies and beauty that is our Creator within the first chapter of the first book of God's Word, as he is telling of how the earth came to be and life began, he reveals to us that he is indeed a triune God, that he is the Father, Spirit, Son, all in one. But don't miss this. We are meant to be in relationship. How do I know? Because even God, before the beginning of time, the creation of the world, was living out relationship within himself. Three in one. The Father, Son, the Spirit, all one in perfect, right relationship. So if God himself is an example of being in relationship with others, then we can infer that it must be important to us as well. But also it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. If God is in us, an example of the need for relationship, and we are made in his image and likeness, then we, like God, have a significance for right, holy relationships, both with others and also with all three persons of God. So in the first chapter of Genesis, it states that God makes man and woman in his image and likeness, but then we get to chapter 2, and we get to see a little more detail into this. God first created man, and man walked alone in the garden with God, one-on-one, before another person entered into. It was just Adam and God, which is why we hear the phrase, have a personal relationship with God, first and foremost. That relationship is of the utmost importance and should be fostered and cared for and prioritized. This must be our core. Then you will see it start to trickle down into all other relationships and everything we do. But to my issue with reducing Christianity to this understanding, yes, of utmost importance is our personal relationship with God, but it is not completely independent of other people, other relationships. Even God desires more and says it is not good for man to be alone and creates Eve to be Adam's helper. God sets the tone right there in the garden. Man should have a personal, deep, intimate relationship with him. And that takes precedence. But we must not neglect man's need to also be in deep, personal, and intimate relationship with others. We are created to be in community, in relationship. So now we have laid down an argument for relationships, and it's so clear. Why spend a Sunday talking about it? Why can't we just do it? Because not long after this, Adam and Eve wreck it. And sin comes into this world, and with it comes broken relationship. Now relationship between God and man is broken. Relationship between God and creation is broken, and man and creation, and the relationship between man and man is broken. But this is just the beginning of the story. The Bible is all about the faithfulness of God towards man in the midst of the brokenness that keeps us from God, from right relationship, from faithfulness to God. All of this culminating to his redemptive plan that comes through his son, Jesus, who in his life, death, and resurrection, we are able to be reconciled to right relationship with God. Now, unfortunately, this has not been brought into full completion on this side of heaven. This leaving us in a struggle and battle to live out a healthy, redeemed relationship with God. We know it's important. We know it's been made possible through Christ. But we still are in brokenness. And therefore, we still struggle to get it right. So what do we do with that? Again, I think a great place to start in strengthening our relationship with God is with God. Shift our gaze and hearts to him. Let every part of our being be consumed in who he is and what he does. It's only fitting to start with God because God has already done the work. He literally created us in his image. He created us in our uniqueness and quirks. He knew us before we knew him. We have always been his. And every bit of relationship with his creation has started with him. He is constantly and wholeheartedly wooing or pursuing us. There is never a time where he is not holding up his end of the commitment. There is never a time he is not doing 110%. And that manifested itself in fullness through Jesus Christ. There are so many qualities to who he is that should overwhelm us. And those qualities are the standard. The definition is God. Some of the qualities of who he is that move me most is God, the creator. The image of him speaking things into existence or breathing life into man. God is so patient. I'm 31 years old and he still shows patience and grace, although I never get it right. Oh, and that kindness of his. And one that has been capturing my heart lately is Jesus as our warrior. Strong, mighty, powerful, ready to fight to the end. Lastly, God as love. A love so deep, so wide, so high, everlasting, unconditional. A love I could never do enough to deserve, and yet he freely lavishes me with it. What qualities of God move you? When we reflect on God more, shifting our focus and purpose on him, we start to deepen the connection and bond we have with him. This is why we practice spiritual discipline. Not because it's some begrudged work or the checklist or to earn something. No, we do them because the result is Jesus. Deeper and stronger relationship with God. A relying and bonding to the Holy Spirit. We engage every aspect of God in those. So when I tell you that reflecting on God, reading God's word, and prayer are important, and the to-dos when you leave here. Let it be out of the heart's desire to be in relationship. And fight for that, even when it's hard or you're not feeling it. Is he worth fighting for? You were worth dying for. Another factor in being in right relationship with God is being in right relationship with others. Going back to where we started, it is a need for us, and all have the ability to be a way that stirs our affections for Christ and glorifies God, and in doing so strengthens our relationship with God. Our need for relationship with God is priority, but that does not negate our need for community with others. And I think we all feel this, especially in this time of pandemic the last 2 years. It is innate in us to desire community, whether we believe in God or not. I mean, have you ever been to a sporting event or a concert? It is exhilarating. Thousands of people cheering and coming together for the same cause. The camaraderie is palpable. When a touchdown happens, you high-five the stranger next to you as if you've been friends your whole life. Super Bowl tonight. And although most people don't have a horse in the race, millions of people will be watching across the nation. America's biggest annual program. I hate football. And I watch the Super Bowl. Why? Because of the food and the halftime show and the commercials, but right up there is because I get to connect with other people. Or you're at a concert and the artist performs your favorite song and you are duetting and harmonizing with the whole section. It's why one can go to an event like that and it is still a blast. But even more so when you are going with people you know and are equally into it. Reality that we desire relationship with others has been a driving force in most that we do since the beginning of time. It manifests itself in family. Then when you are dropped off for kindergarten for the first time, to freshman year of high school, to freshman year of college, to work life, neighborhoods, nursing homes. Every season of our life is coupled with building relationships, even for the most hermit-like people. So then, were we given this desire and need by God with no direction or plan or design for it to be worked out or used? By no means. Now that we have this relationship with God established, we see that one way we are to live out our love of God is with one another. Definitely as the church, as believers, as God's people, but also as we engage and build relationship with those who do not know God. So where is your heart at? What are the things that are keeping you from entering into relationship with God? What weakens our relationship? I want to dig into our lack of response to God for relationship a little, because I don't want this to come off as easy. I don't want you thinking that your lack of communing with God is something that only you struggle with, or that something is wrong with only you. Like, something is wrong with you and me and all of humanity. Sin is real. That brokenness from the fall is real. We are prone to wander. John 1 says we love the darkness. Our sin nature is fighting against this relationship with God. The enemy has made sure it's not an easy battle. But again, is the fight worth it? And ultimately, the battle has been won by Jesus. And we can always rest in that. But there are things that keep us from entering in with God. So let's break down some of those things. First, we don't see relationship with God as a gift to be treasured. Sometimes it feels as though because it's not easy or it's not fun or can feel like God is withholding from us fun, that we are missing out. That's the lie that Eve believed. But that is far from the truth. The greatest joy in my life has come when I am all in with Christ and every part of me gets to participate in worship. Think about that. Or when I leave a time with friends where we ate great food and played games and talked about what God is doing in our lives. What are those things for you? For some of you, it might be that summer camp high, or a six-hour prayer session, or just a quick read through a devotional. Whatever it is, I know that it far exceeds in comparison to the sin that we think we are missing out on. No night of drinking or giving into unlawful sexual desires or act of gossip has ever compared to the things of God for me. Yet, I still seek everything but God at times. Another issue is we lack the ability to think in the eternal. We are a temporal-minded people. Look at the Israelites. They spend hundreds of years in slavery to the Egyptians. They're beaten, cast down, stripped of their freedom, doing labor with little reward. Then God uses Moses and Aaron to rescue his people out of the bondage. And the process wasn't some cheap show. I mean, it was a huge production. God turned water to blood. He made it rain frogs, killed the firstborn of the household. He split the sea to form dry land. He gave these massive tornado things of cloud and one of fire and all to make his glory known, so that all can see how great he is. And a few days after, the Israelites were complaining and wanting to go back into slavery. All throughout history, God's people have not thought past the temporary. And this still rings true today. We love sin so much, we don't think of the eternal death it causes. We just want the quick fix. We are allowing temporal circumstances or emotions or desires to keep us from eternal life and joy that only comes through true relationship with God. Or on the other side of the coin, we are so caught up in the sin of today that we forget the eternal freedom from sin that we have through Jesus Christ. We have cheapened the life, death, and resurrection of Christ when we fixate on our brokenness as if the cross wasn't enough. When we live in spirals of condemnation and shame and allow our righteousness to be determined by my morality, by how good I am doing at not falling to that sin. And when we do fall, our faith goes with it. Somehow, everything terminates on me instead of God and his glory. Today and every day, we can know our sins has been put to death with Christ. And we believers no longer are bound by it. May we desire what we have been saved to more than what we have been saved from. And last thing we lack is discipline. When faced with a choice of comfort and ease or discipline and refining, we choose comfort and ease. And all of this is our sin nature. Things such as work went from enjoyable to life-giving toil. But whether it's spiritual disciplines or the pruning of sin or suffering, we fail to see this as an honor and good thing. We fail to see the strength and trust and hope that comes from being disciplined. God doesn't ask of it out of spite, but out of deep, deep love. When we are disciplined in reading God's word, relying on the Holy Spirit, or denying our flesh, we move deeper into an intimate, completely reliant relationship with God. But it must be from a place of love and freedom that we seek discipline, or else we fall into the trap that I just mentioned above. These are really just a few overarching things that keep us from right relationship with God. But what is it for you? The last part to consider as we think through the things that keep us from God and the things that draw us close is repentance. The setting our focus, our eyes, our heart back on God in response to our sin. Truth is, we fail. We are going to fail. We place so many things on the throne. We are not able to will ourselves to right relationship with God. But he has already done the work, and it is only through him that we get to experience the joys and freedoms that come from relationship with him. So when we fall short, repent. Set your heart on the God that defeated sin and walk in his grace. This puts us face to face with the master plan of God, that we are broken and children of wrath, but God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die, bearing all of our sin and putting it to death, and then raising back to life, giving us life eternal for those that believe. So we are free from sin, redeemed, reconciled, and righteous. That is a God worth my whole life's devotion. That is the God I want to be in relationship with. John 15:3-5. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are so worthy, that you are so great, majestic, beautiful, that you are so patient and faithful. God, that you are worthy of relationship, even though we are not deserving. Lord, I pray that we can give our lives, our hearts, everything that we do, even in the mundane, to glorify you. That we will seek and desire to be in your presence, to grow in you, and to know you more intimately and deeply. I pray that we can see how the church is an opportunity to display that love and see that love that you have for us. And in doing so, we can again know and love you more. So may we not neglect meeting together. May we not make everything terminate on me, the individual. But may I see value and hope in being with others and being in right relationship with you. Thank you so much for your son Jesus, which brings forth our ability to live in this freedom to be in relationship with you and to not rely on our own ability. You have done the work. So may we just walk in that life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.